Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to talk about overcoming the wicked one. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, we read this: I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Do you see there, twice John said, because you have overcome the wicked one, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The truth of the matter is, when you and I are born again, we have overcome the wicked one. We're saved. 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 say, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It is wonderful to be saved. It is wonderful to know that you have overcome the wicked one. However, once you have overcome the wicked one through salvation, he will still try to take advantage of you through his wiles. That's why Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 6 that he gives to us the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. We are told that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And these things are true. So we are to stand, and we are to take, for instance, the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We have an adversary, and we need to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to stand against the roaring lion who goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And so you have to stand. You have to be careful. You have to do some things to keep from giving the devil an advantage. Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he told them that they needed to forgive a young man who had been sinning in the congregation. And he said to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And they needed to forgive him because he had straightened out the mess with God. He had confessed and forsaken his sin. And so when we read these things, we realize truly we have overcome the wicked one, but at the same time, he continues to fight. At the same time, we need to keep from giving him an advantage. And today I'd like to talk to you about four things in 1 John that you and I can do to keep from giving the devil an advantage, though we have overcome him in the eternal sense and in the eternal life. We still must continue to do some things and follow some things that are listed here in 1 John chapter 2 to keep ourselves from the wiles of the devil. Number one, love not the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Notice, you cannot love the world. When a man loves the world, he is an enemy of God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Today, we live in a generation where our young people, and that's who John was writing. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Our young men these days are falling prey to the lust of the flesh. They're falling prey to the lust of the eyes. They're falling prey to the pride of life. And what's happened is that there's this assurance, I'm saved now. I don't have to worry about going to hell. But they have given up on standing against the wiles of the devil. They're like Demas. Paul said about Demas, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And Demas was a fellow laborer with Paul the apostle. You read about him in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, where he's laboring with Paul. And you read about him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And what has he done? He has loved the world and forsaken Paul. You know, what's happened is that people no longer have their affection set on things above. Their affection is set on things on the earth. And now what's happened is that men are lovers of their own selves. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 talk about the perilous times that come before the coming of the Lord. We're in those times right now, and the peril is that these things described in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 have infiltrated the church. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, boasters, proud, incontinent, disobedient to parents, haters of God. You say, how in the world is that possible? The devil's very clever. I believe with all my heart the doctrine of eternal security. I believe that once we have been saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and sealed by the Spirit of God and baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, there we're in. We are members of his flesh and of his bones, the Bible says. However, the devil takes advantage of that doctrine and convinces men they can do anything they want to in this age of grace and get away with it, and there'll be no consequence and no judgment before God, and nothing could be truer or farther from the truth. So I say to you, first of all, be careful. Do not love the world. Check your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence and make sure that you love God with all your heart. Here's the second thing. You need to keep yourself from Antichrist. Keep yourself from Antichrist. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18 says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And he goes on then to describe that Antichrist is he that denieth the Father and the Son. And so what's happened is now, you know, the spirit of Antichrist is working and has been working. It's already in the world. That's why we talked about the mystery of iniquity that you read about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's working now. And what's happened is that there are young men, there are young women today who are following lies. They may be propagated by men behind pulpits. They may be propagated in books. They may be propagated in schools. They may be propagated among friends. They may be propagated on the internet. That's a very popular place now to have a pulpit. All I know is that Paul told the elders of Ephesus that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And so what you're seeing today is that there are men and there are women, young women who have overcome the wicked one, who have overcome the devil And yet they have fallen prey in this life because they are believing lies and believing them as if they were scriptural truth, because the lies are often propagated by people who quote the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses quote the Bible, well, their version of it anyway. Mormons quote the Bible and add their Book of Mormon, of course. And these are perversions. Mainline denominational churches have gotten away from the simplicity of the gospel. There have been churches like the Catholic Church that have propagated lies for centuries concerning this Bible. And, you know, people say, well, how would I know? Read the Bible. All of these things are here, but you have to keep yourself from Antichrist. You say, how do I do that? You love the truth. Jesus Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, the Bible says. Every one of thy words is true from the beginning. And so the way to keep from Antichrist is to keep from falling prey to these popular things that are preached by men that have good words and fair speeches. They are deceivers. You have to be very careful about these matters. And listen very carefully. The spirit of Antichrist already works, but he is a counterfeit of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you hear these doctrines, like doctrines today that say, oh, you can do any, you have liberty to do anything you want to these days, there's no accountability to God for any of that stuff. Don't believe that lie. That's the lie of the libertines that says to Christians, all things are lawful for me. Even though all things aren't expedient, what I'm doing today, God's already paid for through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so I can do it and I will do it. I will say to you just what Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13 and 14 and 15. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So these men, these women portray themselves as the ministers of righteousness, but they are deceitful workers. They've transformed themselves into the apostles of Christ. And that's how you got things going in the tongues movement. That's how you got things going with the faith healers. So much of this stuff was antichrist and not Christian. I realize that if God wanted to, even this day, he could give a man a language and that man could communicate to somebody else in another language. But to compare that with the gift of tongues that you see here in the Bible, not the same thing. For a man to be healed, God certainly has not resigned from the healing business. No way. But for men to take that upon themselves and propagate a gospel so they can make money off of other people, I say, keep yourself from Antichrist. Be very sure that the doctrine you are hearing and the doctrine you are believing is from Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. There's a doctrine propagating now that Christians will go through the tribulation. You have to be very careful with these things. Those doctrines are propagated through Antichrist. He's using Christians in order to be able to do this, but the spirit that's behind that is not the truth. And that's where the problem is. Here's the third thing. You've overcome the wicked one, 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 tell us, and that's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the victory that he claimed in Colossians chapter 2, when he made a triumph over them at the cross. But you can still fall prey because the devil can take advantage of you when you love the world. God said, love not the world. When you follow Antichrist, and the Lord shows us you are to keep yourself from Antichrist. And here's the third thing. Don't commit sin. Now, doctrinally, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 have caused some doctrinal and spiritual questions, and people struggle with how to answer them. There are some things in this passage that are clear. Now, we are sons of God. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. We are now. And a man who is a son of God, who knows that he's going to see Jesus Christ, purifies himself even as he is pure. So let's begin then with verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever therefore abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So you see the difficulty with this passage, because you're born of God if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm born of God. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the Bible says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And so men have wrestled with that. Well, they're not continually committing sin and so forth and so on. I don't want to get into the doctrinal difficulties of the passage. We just need to make a great spiritual application here. And the great spiritual application that we need to make is this. When you are born of God, you don't want to be sinning, because sin is the transgression of the law, and whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. We don't want to do that. He says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, you know what's happened today, and we've already touched on it some, but Christians are callous toward righteousness. Christians don't mind sinning at all. As a matter of fact, sin has been redefined and redefined and redefined so that Christians can sin and get away with it, and it's okay. No, God has given you a biblical authority here, and this Bible tells you absolutely beyond the shadow of a doubt everything that God calls sin. And when you violate the authority of the words of God and go contrary, transgress the words of God, you're sinning. And you know that. You don't need your conscience to tell you, although your conscience does tell you, and right now it's telling you some things. And you're carrying on with sin, and you're thinking, it's okay because God hadn't struck me down. It's okay because I am forgiven and washed in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not okay. There are professing Christians today that are practicing homosexuality. There are professing Christians today who are practicing adultery and fornication. There are practicing Christians today, are professing Christians today who get drunk. And there are professing Christians today who take and abuse drugs. And there are Christians today who are greedy and envious and bitter and angry and wrathful and unkind. And there are those who rob God and the many sins that are committed today, and they think, oh, I'm justified in this. It's okay for me to do this. No, it's not okay. Because what you've done is given place to the devil in your sin. What you've done is you've put yourself in a situation where now the devil is being glorified in your sin, and God is not being glorified in your body. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is within you, which is in you, and you're not your own, you're bought with a price? You know that, don't you? The Holy Ghost is in you, which you have of God, you're not your own, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And men say, no, but I'm going to glorify my flesh, I'm going to sin, and it's okay, and I'm going to ask for forgiveness, and it's okay. It's not okay. You need to deal with that sin in your life. You do. You need to deal with that sin in your life. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You don't need to cover that. You don't need to pretend like it's not going on. The secret sins are the ones that are giving you the most trouble. The secret faults, David wanted God to point those out to him and get rid of them. Get them under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you need to be in the Bible and on your face before God and calling sin what sin is. Otherwise, you continue to give the devil an advantage in your life, and though you've overcome him in your soul and you won't spend a minute in hell, you are glorifying the devil in your sin. Little children, you've overcome the wicked one. Young men, you have overcome the wicked one. So, love not the world. Don't give him a place. Keep yourself from Antichrist. Don't fall prey to lies and false prophecies and false teaching. Don't commit sin. And here's another one, huge. Love your brothers in Christ. Love your brothers in Christ. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Wow. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Oh my. There's such friction in the body of Christ. There's such division in the body of Christ. You know, there's division in our country, and that division, the fires of that division are fueled all the time, politically, socially, in the media. They're fueled in the classroom, even sometimes in the pulpits. This social unrest, this division in the country is fueled continually. And so what happens is you go home and you read the newspaper, or you read a magazine, or you check your internet news site, or you watch the television news, and you see this pressure, this chaos, this division, and it settles into your heart and clouds over your thinking and darkens you from the light of Jesus Christ and his glorious gospel, and you carry that with you into the church, and then suddenly you find there's division in the church. You know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, listen, God wants us together. We are to be bound together by charity. That's what Colossians says. We are to be bound together by the unity of the Spirit of God. And we ought to have one faith, that is a common doctrine. Oh, there's so much division today. People have said, how come there are so many denominations? I've said, because there are so many people and there's still an active devil. And he wants to divide what God wants to keep together. And we have to exercise great caution not to give the devil place there, but to stay together in Christ. You say, well, that's hard to do sometimes because it's easy to be offended. I think it's more easier to be offended today than perhaps in the past because that is kind of the card that is played. People want to pretend that they are victimized. Sometimes they really are. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not certainly minimizing the case of a true victim, but I'm saying many people today want to be victimized by claiming that they have been offended by something. The skin is very thin. You carry that into the church and just wait for somebody to offend you. That causes division. You need to love your brothers in Christ. Listen, has not God loved us when we were unkind? Has not God loved us and forgiven us at times when we know really and truly, except for his love and his long suffering and his forbearance and his shed blood, he should not have forgiven us? And then he tells us to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Put away bitterness, put away wrath, put away clamor, put away anger, put away evil speaking. That's what he says. So you think about that, you think, wow, it's a tall order. Well, you know what he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. The Lord equates hatred for a brother with murder, even though you haven't killed them, in the same way that he equates looking at a woman to lust after her with adultery. Do you understand? The bar is set high. God does not want the devil to have any victory in our lives. That's why he's so well armed us with the whole armor of God. And he says, what I need you to do in order to walk in this victory of having overcome the wicked one is love your brothers in Christ. Don't let the devil get in there and cause division, God would say, where I want unity and union. So I am so thankful in 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, because you have overcome the wicked one. Well, live like you've overcome him. Don't love the world. That's where he is. He is the God of this world. Don't love this world. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Don't go there. Love God and walk like one who has overcome the wicked one. Keep yourself from Antichrist. Check out those doctrines that allure you, that you find on the internet and in other places like that, and check them out word for word against the entire Bible. And make sure that what you're hearing is T-R-U-T-H, truth, and not L-I-E, lie. Get away from sin. Just because some of your friends that you run with have thought it's okay for you to do what you're doing, you know God knows that it's not okay. And sin, this thing about sinning, that's what the children of the devil do. Don't live like a child of a devil. Live like the Son of God. Ask God for the grace and the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cleansing power of his word to get away from that sin in your life. Stop that thing that you're doing. And love your brothers in Christ. I know sometimes when we come hard at the preaching like this, you say, I like to listen to what Brother Welder has to say some of the time, but, you know, he's hard to love. I'm not. Not when the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, no. And you're not hard to love either. Not in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the unity of the Spirit. That's where we get it. Don't let the devil put a wedge in there in your family or in your church family where there shouldn't be a wedge. Absolutely not. You are a child of God. You live like someone who has overcome the wicked one, and don't let our adversary receive the glory. You make sure our God gets the glory. And amen and amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.